Welcome to The Contemplative Life. Three pastors, friends, and spiritual companions help us explore spirituality through a contemplative lens.
I'm Christina Roberts.
I'm Chris Roberts.
I'm Christina Kaiser. We're glad you joined us.
Well, hello. It's great to be with you today. Today, we're going to be talking about the Enneagram. And just a note, we're going to be talking about some things that are just beyond an introduction to the Enneagram. And so if you're new to the Enneagram, we invite you to check out our YouTube page. And there's a short video that you can watch to help introduce you to what the Enneagram is. There will also be a link in the show notes to that YouTube video. So today we want to talk about three aspects of the Enneagram. And who would like to kick it off first?
One helpful aspect for me is this idea of embracing the energies of the Enneagram beyond your number. So admittedly, I have historically had a love-hate relationship with the Enneagram. I remember probably maybe a decade ago, many of my friends were super duper into the Enneagram, and it was all people talked about when we gathered. What's your number? Have you checked out this about the Enneagram? And I really struggled because I couldn't find my number. I identified with a couple of different numbers, and it's like, what's wrong with me? I need to figure out my number. And it became a source of frustration. So I would set it aside. And then sure enough, a few months later, everyone was all excited about the Enneagram. And I thought, gosh, I might be missing out on these things. And so it wasn't until a while, I don't remember who I heard, but they introduced this idea that we all have all of the energies of the Enneagram within us. It's just that there are certain numbers of the Enneagram where we tend to gravitate more naturally. Maybe it's a little bit more organic. Oftentimes, if you think about how you were as a child, that can maybe point to some of the core values of the Enneagram that you hold. And I found that so helpful because, yes, while I identified, and I'll put my cards out here, primarily with one energies, I also have a lot of five energy as well. And so being able to name that, wow, like I don't have to be pigeonholed to one number, seemed to be super helpful for me in now engaging with the Enneagram much more freely and being able to learn from all the different numbers.
I can very much understand what you're saying. My first foray into the Enneagram was in a work environment. We really did it up. We read a book. We had people come in and speak to us from every number. We were broken off into smaller groups to talk about our experiences. And so, you know, some people are totally larger experts on the whole subject than me. But I feel like by the time we finished that segment as a staff, I had a pretty good sense of what things were. But yes, at first we're reading this book. And I'm feeling like, oh, I identify with lots of these little characteristics. And I'll hear this from people even today. They'll have that sense of, well, I'm a little bit like that. Maybe I am that. And then they'll talk about, there's often these defining, just you'll resonate so intensely in some particular area. And so for me, that is the three. But I definitely could find all these little ways in which, oh, that is true of me in different ways. So I hear you. I'm with you.
Yeah, I agree with the sort of love-hate relationship with the Enneagram and sort of the struggle with it. I think for me, one of the things that maybe has been unhelpful about the Enneagram is sort of the typecast that, you know, you're like, this is your type. And I think I probably most identify with the energies of a seven. You know, I've had interactions with people saying, oh, you're a seven. So sevens typically want to go on to something new, and they really can't stay with something like a contemplative journey. And I found that to be unhelpful. Because I think everyone can be contemplative. I think I have energies of other numbers. And so, yeah, I really appreciate thinking about the numbers and carrying the descriptions or energies of the number. So I like what you're bringing up as it relates to energies of the number.
And maybe I'll just add one more thing that I found helpful, maybe kind of to your point too, Chris, is, you know, I think sometimes like if you're a one, oh, that means that you're super organized or you're a perfectionist. And so I think that was part of my struggle with some of the descriptions in the various books or websites weren't hitting with me. But Christina, to your point, I remember there were certain things that actually did, because maybe the language was a little bit different. They called it something different. And I remember hearing someone talk about the different energies and said, you know what, why don't you take a thesaurus of the different types, and whatever the words that are highlighted in that, look up those words in the thesaurus and find some synonyms, because maybe you'll resonate with the idea, but that particular word isn't helpful to you. And that just opened up a whole world of, I don't have to be locked into this particular, I'm not a perfectionist in many things, but other aspects, like how I use my time, for example, very much like that is really, really important to me. How my room looks and the cleanliness of my room, not so much. So I found that to be helpful as well, as we're talking about sort of the energies of the Enneagram beyond our quote unquote number.
Yes. And that's such a common experience, right? We really hone in on it in just a particular area of our life, not every area of our life. And I think in addition to the energies, another aspect that can be very helpful in kind of understanding, like, oh, why do I feel like I'm a little bit all over the place with these, is this notion of the wings and the arrows, that we're really not a pure anything. Everybody's, if I'm a 3 on the Enneagram, so my possible wings are going to be 2 or 4, right? These things that are right next to you. And so in my, you know, school years, I was really attached to my 4 wing. I was all into being as unique as possible. I would go to the store, I would find the most unique clothing, and I would buy it. I still have some of those pieces because they're just iconic at this point. And I would write all this poetry. I was very concerned about shallowness versus authenticity, and I really believed in my authenticity. It was a really big deal. My adult life has really exhibited a lot more of my 2 wing, to the point that I don't even think people can find my 4 wing on some days. But there were moments that came up still in college, but a lot of my adult life is all about the helper aspect of who I am. And so that energy comes into play there through these wings. And then there's your arrows, 2 more personalities you're going to strongly identify with. Sometimes when you're under stress, sometimes when you're feeling really comfortable and things are really flowing. And so 4 different ways, in addition to your pure number, that are going to be really unique and authentic to you.
Yeah, I really have appreciated the wings and the arrows as well. Sort of landing mostly as a 7, I find, do I have a 6 wing or do I have an 8 wing? And I think I most definitely have an 8 wing. We have a child in our house who is an 8, and I find my 8-ness, the 8 is, to be against. And, we find ourselves butting heads with each other, sticking up for our cause. And so I really have appreciated the Enneagram as it relates to wings, and arrows have been super helpful in my life as well. 7s, I think they're my arrow. Whenever I'm in stress, lean towards the unhealthiness of a 1, and I become a drill sergeant and I want order around my house, and I give my kids marching orders and convey them very forcefully, and doesn't really help the situation. It causes more trouble than what I really want. And, also I think as a 7, whenever I'm in a good spot, I move towards 5. My arrows move towards 5, and I take in lots of information, and I want to share sort of my findings enthusiastically, like a 7 would, whatever it is that I'm into, I share it very enthusiastically. So I've appreciated the numbers and the wings aspect of the Enneagram as well.
And actually, I would say this is something that has drawn me more into the Enneagram, is this idea of we relate to the world differently depending on if we are under stress in some unhealthy circumstances in our lives that we're navigating, or those more comfortable spaces like you mentioned, Christina. And I think that has also been an indicator, again, the broadening of our personality, and there's fluidity. It's not like I am this human being. Some of the other tests online where you're a particular letter or whatnot is super helpful also, but I think this also allows for some of that life dynamic that happens and what it means. And so identifying with, there's a playfulness, a joyfulness when 1s are healthy and go to 7s. And so when I recognize that, it's encouraging to me, like, okay, there's something going on here that's well. And then I think interestingly enough too, sometimes the things that in another person, when you're seeing something mirrored maybe, and it's like, oh, okay, is that, I'm maybe resistant to that, like you're talking about, Chris, and what does that speak to myself and my wings, arrows, etc. And so, yes, I appreciate, Christina, to your point, that there ultimately are kind of 5 primary numbers that you're navigating with frequently in our lives due to the kind of dynamism that just life offers us.
Our energies and our wings and our arrows. I think another thing that I found super helpful to consider is the Enneagram as a map. And, you know, if you look at the Enneagram on a piece of paper, it's got all these numbers, but sort of looking at the Enneagram as a map. And one of the things that I found out in using the Enneagram as a map is there's certain numbers that are head-centered. There's certain numbers that are heart-centered, certain numbers, you know, three numbers that are gut-centered. And I always thought that I was more of a sort of gut-centered person. Like I'm very intuitive. I make decisions out of what am I feeling? But I think the Enneagram says that I'm head-centered. Really? Is that true? Am I head centered? And since the discovery of that, it's like, yes, I'm in my head all the time. And it's helped me engage with other people that sort of are up here in their head. And it's also helped me understand people that are sort of heart centered and people that are gut centered. So that's one of the things that I found helpful about the Enneagram as, you know, it relates to serving as a map.
It's funny that you say that. Recently I was in this group and we were doing this meditation and it gave you this opportunity to notice where you opened up energy wise. And so there was like moments where they kind of focused on the forehead or the head, maybe the throat, the heart. And then, so it kind of went all the way through. And so I am a three, the three is a heart type. When we got to the heart, I felt so expansive. Whereas like all these other like moments where we could focus and look for space, I felt kind of constricted and not, but when we got to the heart, I felt so open. And I think back to that whole pigeonhole idea, it could change, right? You could have a day where you feel all this openness in your hands or something. It's totally different, but I do think that that points to this is a natural space for me to operate out of. I think the other thing you said about, I felt like I was an intuitive person. I have felt the same, but there must be this kind of where does my intuition come from kind of thing. And then we discover that, we might read our intuitions based on very different places in our body.
Yeah. And when I consider the centers that you're naming, I think about some people that I've worked with over the years that are sixes on the Enneagram. And I would say that that's probably the least place where I identify least with the six on the Enneagram, but I love working with sixes and have really come to appreciate that. And understanding that I'm a one. And so I'm very much gut centered with a nine wing. However, the two wing is heart centered, right? And so the head centered isn't my natural go-to, with the exception of how I did say that I do identify some with five. So there you go. But I'm realizing when I'm communicating to my six colleagues, how important it is to have facts and numbers and data and lists and organization, and how that brings a sense of security. And so if we're going to expand our conversations and go beyond that, that has to be a starting point. And so I think, Christina, to your point earlier, as we're learning energies of maybe family members, coworkers, colleagues, how that can help us in our communication skills of really being able to, again, where's their natural inclination and how can we draw the best out of those with whom we interact with on a day-to-day basis?
Talking about the identifying with sixes and working with a lot of sixes. And I find that, you know, we can at any given time in our lives, who am I mostly relating to? And at certain times, you know, I found I'm relating to fours, or here recently, I find that I'm working with a bunch of nines and I'm interacting with a lot of nines. And I really appreciate the gifts of nines. They reserve their energy. They're very thoughtful. They can sort of see the whole picture, but yet they're not going to get caught up in the drama or the emotion of it all. And they're not going to make decisions hastily. They don't even really like to make decisions. And so I think, you know, thinking of it as a map has helped me, you know, in this current season of my life, working with a lot of nines, tend to look at it as a map and say, how am I going to best interact with these individuals that seem to be surrounding me in this current season of life? And so I really have appreciated our conversation today. Thanks so much. We're going to transition to the part of our podcast where we talk about what we are into this week. What are we into?
Well, I am currently into curriculum vitaes and cover letters because I haven't done any of that for almost 20 years, but I find myself needing to have a CV and cover letter in the next week or so. So I've been doing a deep dive into these types of things, and happily, lots of other people have been doing this more recently. So they are jumping in to give me advice, and I am so thankful for them. But that is my world right now.
Well, we have had some really lovely weather here in Wisconsin, so I am into convertibles. And just a little bit of a backstory. So my husband is a very much gifted in serving people. He loves to help people. And we have a neighbor who is a 70-year-old widow, but she's fiery. She's great. And so Chris was over there the other day helping her. And she has her normal car, but she also has this red spider convertible car. And so Chris and I were going out on a date, and she was like, why don't you surprise Christina and take her out in the convertible? You guys can enjoy the nice weather. And it's been a long time since I've been in a convertible, right? We have a minivan, we have a family. Back in high school, I had a friend with a convertible, and, you know, kind of sprinkled throughout my life, but it was just really fun to be back in a convertible and kind of feel free and enjoy the wind and the sunshine. So I am into convertibles.
Yes. Well, I'm into this nice weather as well. And one of the ways that I've been maximizing the weather is I'm getting ready for this winter. And I have been outside in these beautiful temperatures, chopping wood, splitting wood. We have a whole bunch of wood that we've been letting cure for about 2 years, and it is finally ready. I got a sledgehammer and I have a splitter, and I have been whacking away and splitting this wood and preparing for winter. I hear the gas prices are going to be astronomical this fall, and so I am thinking ahead, wanting to provide a different fuel source for our family and enjoying doing it in this nice weather. So I'm into log splitting. Well, thank you for joining us today. If you're looking to go deeper into your spiritual journey, we invite you to check out the spiritual direction page on our website, which includes even more practical information about what spiritual direction and companioning is all about. So until next time, make it a great week.